Welcome back to the Renewed Podcast with your host, Dr. J,
and my co-host, Jody.
So we're so glad that you guys are back with us. Last week, we gave you a little, introduction to what we're doing and how we are in North Texas now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, and this is our new studio.
Yeah, we have a different setup than last week, so we got a little bit of an upgrade.
A little bit.
Yeah.
We're getting there. We're working little by little. Your support is going to help us, you know, improve, I guess, our quality and, you know, be able to give you the best type of content that we can. As we mentioned, you know, our purpose is to be able to develop authentic faith, and we believe that that produces real transformation. What we mean, let me rephrase that. We don't mean that what we talk about is the only type of faith or the real faith. We allude to the original practices of the first disciples of Jesus. That's authentic faith. It kind of like what you guys say, the young generation. It's the OGs.
Yeah, exactly. It's just taking it all the way back to what those first disciples of Jesus had, that kind of authentic faith.
Mm-hmm. Their practices, you know, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 11 that the believers were called Christians first in Antioch. And it wasn't that believers called themselves Christians. It was the unbelievers that called them Christians. They were walking by, or they were trying to expose them, if you will. During the time of the great persecution, what was happening is that people were looking for believers and in order to kill them and, you know, persecute them and the such. So what people started to do is they started to label the believers, and the label that they received was the title Christians. And, you know, words have a way of changing meaning, or the veracity of a meaning changes over time. Like I've always said, you know, when I was growing up, if we mentioned the word web, to us, it brought a clear picture of like a spider web on the wall or on the ground or something. Now it conjures up a different type of image.
Yeah.
You know, so when we say Christian, we normally look at that from today's perspective. You know, what type of image does the word Christian conjure up in our minds?
Yeah.
And very rare, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but very rarely does it conjure up Peter, Paul, you know, the first disciples, yeah, you know, some of the first disciples of Jesus in their practices. It doesn't conjure that image, the devotion, the prayer, the community, you know, everything that was happening in the first century. That's not really what we think about when we think about Christian. When we say, oh, that person's a Christian, I'm a Christian, that doesn't come up. What comes up is what's happening today.
Yeah.
You know, how Christians have made the term Christians today.
Yeah, and I feel like it can mean a lot of different things, depending on where you live and what kind of church you go to, or if you don't go to church. Mm-hmm. Everyone has their own image of what a Christian should look like, I guess, right, in their view.
Right. You know, being Christian in America, in the United States, is probably different than being a Christian in South America.
Yeah.
Or Central America, or Europe.
Yeah.
China.
That's India. One thing that I realized is in other countries, like, oh, they don't do church sometimes, or they don't do church the way we do church here in like Western civilized society, I guess. Mm-hmm. It looks different for them, but that doesn't mean that it's wrong Because the way they were doing church all the way back in the book of Acts in those times, it looked different than the way a lot of churches do it now, like you said, in other countries. And so it can look a lot of different ways. And so that kind of plays into authentic faith. It plays out, I feel like it can mean different things to people, faith. Right. And so where it's different for us is authentic faith, going back to...
Going back to the OGs.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, the way the OGs were doing it, or, you know, these first believers were trying to live out their faith.
Right. And I think the where it gets muddy is that we try to now imitate the faith of a modern day Christian. And that's not to say that the modern day Christian is wrong. It's just that sometimes we may choose a Christian that that aligns more with our practices.
Yeah, or like our lifestyle, it seems a little more applicable to the way we live and stuff.
Right.
And so we try to just imitate. I mean, that's just what you do. You know, you imitate people you're around and things that you see.
Right.
But especially, yeah, modern day practices of Christians sometimes exclude a lot of what is necessary.
Right.
Like we've said before, fasting is one of them. I remember first learning about fasting, and I never thought that I would get to the point of like, oh, I actually have to do it. It's necessary in my walk with God at certain points.
Right.
Of course, not doing it all the time. But yeah, I never thought that I would need to up until like a couple years ago when I realized taking up my own walk with God and making it my relationship. It was personal to me. And so then I started praying on it, thinking on it. Oh, fasting is a thing. But it seems very traditional to do fasting.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, again, one of y'all's words is hey, boomer.
Yeah. Yeah, just like very old school vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. And but it doesn't mean that it should not be practiced just because it's an old practice.
Yeah.
And I think modern day Christians, sometimes we want to disassociate or, you know, separate from traditions, you know?
Yeah. Cause I think, a lot of us can think that it steers people away or it scares people away from doing these traditional things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it like, I think people are okay with prayer. So, you know, yeah, we'll pray.
Right.
You know, attending church. Well, you know, we can, you know, it's not. How many times have we heard people say we are the church?
Right. Yeah. Or like they'll say church is my life every day. I live out church or church at home, which is true, but it's not a substitute for the necessity of going in person to church on Sundays.
And oftentimes we say that to excuse the fact that we are not attending church.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of us Christians, we tend to individualize our walk with God, which it can be personal in that way. And we should have a lot of private moments with God, but a lot of it is being in community and engaged in communication with fellow believers in the body of Christ.
Right. We always say, you know, your walk with God is personal, but it should not be private.
Yeah. It's very important to be able to interact with other believers and participate in serving at church and your Bible study, things like that, because it helps you grow. It's part of the spiritual formation.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary. Like God, all the way in the beginning, he created, Eve for Adam. I don't know why I got stuck there. Everyone, we all know that. But yeah, so even all the way back then, the beginning of time, God intended for humans to be in relationship with one another, to be like interconnected like that.
Yeah, he said it's not good for man to be alone.
Yeah.
And not necessarily just as far as marriage is, you know, the topic in that.
Yeah.
But more so, it's not healthy for anyone to be an island to themselves. You know, part of, you know, for people that have an understanding of jail and some of the punishments that go, at least in our Western culture in the United States, let's frame it from there. When if you're in prison, you know, you're already isolated, but you're still congregating, if you will, with other people.
Yeah.
But when you get in trouble, a way to punish people, we've seen it on TV shows and movies, is that they put you in isolation.
Right.
You know, and it's not good. You know, people can go crazy with that. There's been plenty of research to support how isolation just damages mental health and, you know, physical health and, you know, all kinds of other stuff. And so here we are, you know, a few years after the pandemic, and now there's a lot of talk about mental health and, you know, the damage that isolation caused.
Yeah.
You know, we were in essence forced almost worldwide.
Yeah.
To isolate from people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that scripture is clear. It's not good for man to be alone.
Yeah. And I will say it's one thing that the pandemic did, or something good that did come out of it, was the fact that we were able to explore creatively and like make it a good thing, the virtual interactions and communications. Mm-hmm. It really does, and it really can help. It's not a substitute, but it's an added resource for authentic believers and Christians to be able to use in their walk with God. I learned, or I've just been like talking about it in general, how the Holy Spirit is not limited by physical distance. And the way I kind of like, I don't know, I guess like learned that or started reflecting on that was when Jesus ascended and he left the Holy Spirit. And because of the Holy Spirit, we're able to have that connection to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really big eye opener because I realized a lot of growth and spiritual growth can happen virtually when it's used in addition to doing the things that we should be doing in person, right. Going to church, Bible studies, things like that.
Yeah. Jesus said, greater things will you do. And it's not that we're better than Jesus or we're going to do greater miracles than Jesus.
Yeah.
But I think part of the greater things is maybe the reach. Right now, we are in North Texas. But we have viewers that'll come from South Africa, from Spain, Italy. We have people from all over the world. that can watch us simultaneously.
Yeah.
Which is a greater thing. You know, when Jesus was walking the earth, he was limited to being in one place at a time.
Right. Yeah. And I can't imagine how different that must have been. It's just such a great advantage now, a great resource to have. I've even realized in my friendships, since I don't live close to them anymore, I feel like with one of my friends, we talk often on the phone, we get on FaceTime. And so I feel like we haven't even missed a beat. It hasn't really hit yet, even though it's been over a month. So it really does help maintain that connection that we should be trying to have with other believers.
Right. And the issue then has become that because of that isolation and because of the advancements in technology, that now people are trying to choose one or the other.
Yeah, and it's
instead
not.
Instead of combining them.
Yeah, they need to be combined and used like in conjunction. They can both be add a lot of benefit to a person.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we come in, and that's where we want to talk about and equip you and encourage you and maybe shed a little bit of light on a different aspect of all of this. We come from the point of view of ministry.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some of you are watching us and you come from the point of view of attending church every once in a while, or maybe not at all.
Yeah.
Or maybe you come from the point of view of you are in ministry, you are in leadership, and you can agree with some of these things and disagree with some of them. But, you know, we're just trying to shed a little bit of light and all that. I've been in ministry, you know, close to 30 years full time. And you grew up, obviously, in ministry.
Right. Yeah. I'm 23. So automatically I was kind of just born into that. So yeah, growing up and seeing, you and mom and what that looked like and being at church every single Sunday and doing church events or participating, serving in them during the week. Mm-hmm. It's all that I've known.
Yeah. You know, and part of the thing is, you know, you mentioned earlier how we imitate other people. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's wonderful. You know, right now, I mean, if we had Peter or Paul or King David or, you know, any other biblical character that we knew, like maybe it was our neighbor or something, then, you know, we could say, oh, yeah, you know, I want to imitate him. Mm-hmm. But today we imitate, you know, modern day believers.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Yeah.
I think the problem or the challenge becomes that we want to imitate leaders, but we don't differentiate what we should and should not imitate.
Yeah, because and it's important to understand that these leaders in the church or pastors or whoever they are, they're humans just like us. Right. They're not better than us. They're not above us. There are leaders and they're there for a reason, mm-hmm. but they're human just like us. They're not Jesus. Like, right. I think that is something that a lot of people can get just kind of mixed up with, because naturally you start to develop this love and appreciation for leaders, mm-hmm. In your church or
as
wherever. Yeah. And that's great. And we should do that, mm-hmm. but because of our love, it just kind of, it can get distorted sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, because of that, we say, well, you know, my pastor slapped the wife, so it should be okay. Well, Paul didn't say imitate everything I do.
Yeah.
He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And we can see in scripture where Paul struggles as a human, like all of us struggle. He said, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? And the things that I should be doing or do want to do, those things I don't do. I get away from that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have this constant battle between doing what God wants us to do and doing what we want to do. Because I think we're all selfish to some extent. Mm-hmm. And we try to look for excuses as to why I did the things that I wanted to do. You know, for selfish reasons.
Yeah.
And a way to excuse that is, well, you know, my elder at the church did it, or the deacon at the church, or the Sunday school teacher, or I saw the pastor doing this, or I saw a leader doing this, so it must be okay. But that's not what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us to imitate our leaders, but from the perspective of everything that they imitate that is like Jesus.
Yeah.
See, 'cause we're trying to be like Jesus. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus.
Yeah. And the major point is, like, we all can help each other to be like Jesus, right. But we don't try to do what someone else is doing. If it's wrong, right? Because they're not Jesus. Right. We're all trying together. So all we can do is kind of help one another, mm-hmm. but not imitating each other's
flaws.
Yes. Yeah.
If I pray and I'm good, then imitate that. If I have anger issues, don't imitate that.
Yeah, and it's happened before. Like, we've all had moments where we've made major mistakes, and a lot of people have seen our mistakes in the church or at home or wherever. And we can only hope, you know, people don't reflect that in their lives, right. or do the same thing. But I've seen it. I've seen, like, the ripple effect that negative behaviors can do to other people, mm-hmm. especially maybe people that look up to me or we're kind of on the same level. And so they're trying to figure it out too. And I've seen what it can do. Like, mm-hmm. just those negative outcomes.
It can bring a lot of division, you know, and I see this in close to, you know, like, as I mentioned, close to 30 years of ministry, in ministry from the perspective of, you know, leading a church, mm-hmm. I have seen how people are real quick nowadays, you know, I can't speak for 1980s or 70s or even before that, mm-hmm. but I can speak as far as the last 30 years, how easy it becomes for people to leave church or excuse it and say, well, the reason I don't go to church is because, you know, some leader, some church member, some church attender did something wrong. And because of that, you say, well, you know, that's not how Christians should act. And that's why I don't go to church.
Yeah. And so why do you think that a lot of us church attenders or Christians, why do we tend to make that excuse, or why can it be so easy and tempting to leave church because someone didn't say hi, the pastor didn't shake your hand or whatever it is, but be able to go to work and experience those similar things, but still go to work?
Yeah. And I think it's a matter of desire for one perspective on the other thing, but it's also what you feel or what you perceive as a reward. Most people go to church and don't expect to get much. They go to church, in essence, to do like a check mark. You know, I did my duty for the week. I went to church. So now God is good with me.
Yeah.
Which, again, the reasons why people go to church have nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, the results should be real transformation, mm-hmm. you know, transformation that'll last. So if you don't sense that you're getting anything out of church, in most cases, it's because we're going to church kind of like as a duty. I don't want to go to hell, so let me go to church. Mm-hmm. I don't want to struggle at home, so let me go to church. It's kind of more of a check mark.
Mm-hmm. Or like a give and take.
Right.
Like I'm going because I want my home life to be good or whatever right. it is.
And you know, the truth is that becoming a Christian doesn't eliminate problems. Mm-hmm. We are in a fallen world. I've often said that going to church is like going to a hospital. Mm. You know, who goes to a hospital? People who are sick.
Yeah.
People that have issues, people that have a problem with themselves. Mm-hmm. The healthy are not in a hospital.
Yeah.
It is people that have some type of issue. Yeah. So who goes to church is people who have issues.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I'll say, like, think about yourself. Like, what are you going through? Why are you going to church? Because we're messed up, right? Like, we go to church because we're mm-hmm. trying to
improve.
Yeah, trying to get better, trying to improve. So think about yourself. Everyone else is in the same position, right? So
yeah, and you know, so what happens is that we go with this issue that we have, and then somebody rubs us the wrong way, and then it's real easy to say, well, that's why I don't go to church, because yeah. I was trying to get this issue fixed. And that one right there just made it worse, you know. But the same thing can happen at work. You know, your boss can literally, you know, not an innuendo, but a direct attack. You know, sometimes we get a lot of innuendos at church. Like somebody will see you coming, they turn, they don't want to shake your hand, they don't want to see you. You know, we can kind of assume or deduce from all of that, oh, maybe they don't like me. Mm-hmm. At work, you know, it's a little different. People will tell you to your face, like, I don't like you. Mm-hmm. I don't like working with you. I wish you didn't work here. And most people are okay with that. Yeah. They'll continue to go back to that environment.
Yeah.
They'll smile and say, hey, you know. But why do you do it? Why that resilience at work and not at church? Again, this is just one person's opinion. I believe that part of the reason why you will be so resilient at work is because of the perceived reward you're getting. You're getting a paycheck. Mm-hmm. Why not that resilience in church? Because of the perceived reward. You don't feel you're getting enough.
Yeah.
Because if you perceived that going to church is vital to your health, is vital to your marriage, is vital to your success. If you perceive that going to church is the lifeblood, the heartbeat of your life, then nobody can keep you from church.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's the faith that we're talking about.
Yeah, where it's a faith that's like, it's your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's the same, like we've said before, we grew up going to church, and the way I viewed it, like as a kid, we kept going because there was no other option, like no other options existed. And then when I grow up and come to my own relationship with God and my own decision to walk with God, I realize it's because, or it eventually just turned into this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And that's just what you live. It's just what you do. Just as like you're breathing and you wake up every day, it's the same. You go to church on Sundays, right?
Yeah. It's our lifeline. It's now going to church and becoming a Christian doesn't make you a perfect person. Doesn't make you flawless.
Yeah.
You're still flawed. You are as messed up as you were.
Yeah.
Before. The difference being that now you have a different way to process your challenges. You have a different way of processing your limitations. You know, this is where you can learn to seek God and seek counsel. The Bible says in the midst of counselors, there's safety.
Yeah.
So your friends become more valuable, more important. Your Christian friends become more important in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
Your friends become more important. They have more value. Your community becomes more valuable because if I'm having a challenge, you could help me.
Yeah.
Maybe you went through it and God helped you. A prayer, a verse, you know, an activity, whatever it may be, you have something that I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
That helped you overcome a similar challenge. So that's why it's important and valuable to go to church.
Yeah. So now my question is, how can we as Christians be able to have the mindset of I'm not going to let that person affect me at church, or I'm not going to let whatever it is affect me. How can we be better at doing that?
Yeah. You know, it's what I would consider to be self-control. You know, full disclosure, here recently we visited a church. When we first moved over to North Texas, we had our Bible study here at home. And then afterwards, you know, I think you mentioned that, you know, we grew up going to church, so, you know, we need to.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, you know, so we went and visited a church, and while we were going to church, while we were walking in my mind, I'm praying, Lord, help me.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, not because I'm not a Christian or I'm not a believer or I've been walking with the Lord for years.
Yeah.
But my prayer was from the perspective of help me to understand why I'm here. You know, I'm here to serve you. It looks a little different because in the past, I'd show up to church to preach.
Yeah.
And this time around, I'm showing up to church to sit.
Completely different for you.
And I'm thinking, help me, Lord, because, you know, I as a pastor, I notice different things.
Yeah, right.
You know, people moving, people talking, people, you know, I'm now in the audience.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm saying, Lord, help me to understand why I'm here.
Yeah.
And the ultimate purpose of all that was I'm there because of my relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
not because of who's preaching, who's sitting next to me, what the other person is doing, none of that.
Yeah.
So I had to be very, very conscious and aware of my own feelings about the surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
But also I had to be very aware of why I'm there.
Right.
So what keeps you in that mindset is being aware. You know, being purposeful. Why are you attending church? Is it to find out if people like you? Because once you find out that they don't like you, then you don't have to go to church. You know, yeah. So why are you why are you getting up Sunday morning for at whatever time your church service is?
Yeah.
Why are you getting up Sunday morning, getting dressed, driving over to the church, sitting down, spending time there, being attentive, taking notes, praying, reading scripture, whatever? Why?
Yeah.
Because if you can answer that, then everything else kind of, the noise and everything else just kind of goes down.
Yeah.
And you understand, okay, well, I'm here because of my walk with God.
Yeah.
And so if somebody doesn't shake your hand, how does that affect the purpose? I'm here to work on my relationship with God.
Yeah.
So, I think that's part of the mindset is, being purposeful and knowing why am I going to church? Why am I attending? Why am I trying to be here again?
Yeah.
Same reasoning or mindset that you take for your job. Why are you going to work?
Yeah, that was good.
That's, as a man, why do you work? You know, if you're the head of your home, you're a husband, why are you showing up to work? You say, well, because I need to provide for my family. I need to provide for my children. So you don't care if people like you or don't like you, because your purpose, your why, has been answered in your mind. So going to church should be the same way.
Yeah. And there's people there, if you're going to church with someone, that can help you also just kind of get through it and say, oh, just don't pay attention to that, or, it steers you in the right direction. Again, that's another important thing about having fellow believers that are just walking along the journey with you too. Mm-hmm. Jer, she helped me too when we started going and visiting churches here. It's completely new and unprecedented for us. Yes. And so it was like maybe the second Sunday that we were here, third Sunday. And I was just kind of like struggling with it because our serving God right now looks different than the way it's looked our whole lives. Mm-hmm. So it made me think, am I still like living right? Am I disobeying God? I was like going through all these things. And then Jared told me, we're here for a reason, try to be present. And God is having us learn something in this season, just the way he had us in other seasons of our lives. Mm-hmm. And so people like that can remind you why we're here. The bottom line, why am I going to church?
Right.
Doesn't matter what church it is. Why are we going? Why should we be going? Right. So, yeah. Church is a pretty big for authentic faith. It's a very big aspect. Because I think now, today, people view church in very specific ways. Mm-hmm. They have like an idea of it. And so it's important just to get to the bottom line.
Yeah. I think attending church is vital. It is the lifeline. It's kind of like the heartbeat of what we do. Mm-hmm. But then everything that comes with attending church is equally as important.
Yeah.
It's not just a matter of showing up. Now you have to be a functioning member of that body.
Yes, you need to be engaged and active, because it could very well be said that you make your journey with God an individual journey, even if you are attending in-person church. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, a person could just show up, be in worship, be in the sermon, and then immediately leave. Mm-hmm. And, sometimes that happens. But when you're not engaged and you're not serving Sundays, or you're not having fellowship with people there during or before or after church, or participating in the community events or whatever it is, those are all equally important too, and giving as well.
Yeah. And, on that note, there's some numbers out there that I read some time ago. 20% of the church covers 80% of the finances of the bills. Mm. 20%, which means that about 20% of your church are the faithful tithers. They do it, you know, all the time. Yeah. They give, and they give their tithe and they give their offerings. They give extra and such. Only 20%. Now imagine if everyone that attended church did that. Mm. The amount of influence and, for lack of a better term, a power that a church would have.
Yeah.
It, because everyone is practicing what they need to be doing. And that means giving and tithing. Again, when you start discussing money with people as far as church, money oftentimes is part of the reason why people don't go to church.
Yeah.
They say, well, you know, I don't want to go to church because they just want to take my money. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not saying you're wrong for holding that view or thinking like that. But I think everything that we do in life, we can say that.
You know, yeah.
I don't want to go to the bar because they just want my money.
Yeah. And people just like to view that with church because mm-hmm. the pastor said this too, one of these other Sundays. People, we've all heard of stories where people are using the money for wrong reasons, and that does happen in church, but it also happens in businesses too, right? But we still have to go to the grocery store. We still have to, whatever it is. There's error. It's human error and wrongdoing that does happen. But nonetheless, we still need to do our responsibility as mm-hmm. Christians. And if the Bible is saying it, you know, then we need to be doing it. Yeah. And that's just the bottom line. Like, I think authentic faith also entails being like trying not to cop out. You know what I mean? I think a lot of us Christians today, we like to make excuses and it's not fully like engaged in a lot of what the Bible says.
Yeah. And, you know, getting back to the money aspect of it is, you know, we start thinking, well, you know, why would God want me to give when I'm struggling? Mm-hmm. You know, if we read the Bible, it says, if you're poor, look for something to give. You know, if you go to the Old Testament, it says, you know, even the poor people had to go, you know, maybe find a bird, a dove, something, and bring it in as a sacrifice. King David once said, I will not give God something that costs me nothing. And I think too often we view church as a free vending machine where we want to go and just kind of press numbers. I need this, and then get it and leave and never make deposits. Mm-hmm. Now, if we were to do that in a bank, go make a withdrawal without ever making a deposit, they call that robbery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You go to jail for that.
Yeah, a lot of Christians view it as just taking, I'm going to go to church and go to the altar and just try to receive from it. What mm-hmm. is God speaking over my life? Mm-hmm. Rather than I'm doing it to be engaged in the presence of God right. and doing what I need to be doing as a Christian.
Yeah. And we should be providing, you know, there's some people say, well, tithing is an Old Testament thing. We're not going to be talking about that. You know, the theology of it, at least not on this episode.
Yeah, no, we could get that another time.
Yeah. But we have a responsibility to finance the work of ministry.
Yeah.
You know, according to scripture. This is not according to pastors or church leaders or, you know, people that want to get over on your money. This is just the truth of it. A church cannot make their mortgage payment in faith.
Yeah.
They need cash.
Yeah. And a lot of people will like to respond and say, well, it's my money. You know, well, actually, it's not your money. Nothing that is here on earth is actually ours. it's God's, and God's kind enough to let us keep a good portion of it and then put the rest back into, you know, building up the kingdom of God and things like that.
You know, I've often liked to bring this, I guess, perspective in ask you a question. If I were to tell you, I have $1 million that I want to give you, the only requirement that I have is that when I give you $1 million, I want you to give me back $100,000. You know, how many of you would reject that? Hmm. You know, how many of you say, no way, man. No, I won't take the million.
Yeah.
No, most of them would run to grab it and you know, immediately give the $100,000 back, because we know that we win in that transaction. You mean to tell me you're going to give me $1 million and all I have to do is give you $100,000? I get to keep $900,000? Mm. Yeah. You know, most of us would say, gladly, let's do this. Well, that's the way giving works in church. God gives you health, life, skills, abilities, a job, customers for that job, a need for your creativity. Mm-hmm. And then he asks, all I want you to do is give 10% back.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we view it from that perspective, then, you know, things begin to change. Mm-hmm. And that's what was happening in the early church, in the first century church, is that the believers practiced their faith in that fashion. Mm-hmm. They met together daily. They went to church weekly, and the apostles would preach to them. And then the Bible says that they would go back, and throughout the week, they would take what the apostles taught them and they would discuss it in home groups, in essence, what we in today's world call home groups. So all this happened in the early church, and it was their practice. We read the Bible. Paul says, hey, you guys, gather up money throughout the week so that when I'm there, we can collect it.
Yeah.
This is the natural practice of it. We don't have a problem with organizations practicing it. You know, I don't agree with Amazon, with a lot of what Amazon does. But man, Amazon shopping has made life very convenient.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't have to agree with them to shop with them.
Yeah.
I don't agree with Netflix and a lot of stuff that they do. But I remember when Netflix first came out, you know, it was just, you know, we would get those little video, the DVD players at home.
Yeah.
You know, I started using Netflix. Hey, I was probably one of their first customers.
Yeah.
You know, I just love the convenience of having the movies delivered to my house so that I can watch it at home.
Yeah. And we have a need. And so it's up to us. We got to, we have to, how do I say it? Like, we need to work towards getting that need, mm-hmm. right? So, like you said, with Amazon, we need or we want things, so we're going to pay the money to get it. Mm-hmm. And so we have a need to be in church, and we have certain wants or desires or things like that. So it's up to us. We go in and we do our responsibility and mm-hmm. give, whether or not we agree with certain things in the church or whatever mm-hmm. it is. Because I think we like to view the church like, a lot of us view it as like perfect, or yeah,
they have to be perfect. If I'm going to attend church, they have to be perfect.
Yeah. Or if I'm going to give at church or serve, it has to be perfect, but it's not run by perfect people. We're all human and there's going to be mistakes made there. So
we are a mess.
Yeah.
You know, I think oftentimes it's funny to say, but you probably get the best product on Sunday mornings. Hmm. Because that's, you know, for the next 45 minutes or hour, you're like, okay, I need to be the best version of myself right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then the rest of the week, you get the real deal.
Yeah. It's funny how that happens. But we all do it, right? Yeah. Like we want to come with our best and be our best at church on Sundays.
Yeah. It's kind of like going to an interview for a job that you really want.
Yeah.
It is the best version of you.
Yeah.
And then your first day of work could be, you know, close to the best version of you. But after you talk to people and they tell you all the gossip and they tell you the supervisor what their issues are, and
yeah.
you know, and people start talking, they don't tell you all the good stuff that's there.
Yeah.
People always talk about, well, you know, you're not going to like this, you're not going to like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you're like, man, forget this job. But you went with your best version to get the job.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in church. You know, pastors, we try to be the best version of ourselves Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that we're trying to be fake. I'm just saying that in everything that we do, we try to offer the best that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And don't make judgments on whether you should come back or continue to serve God based on other people's versions. Because as you mentioned earlier, we're human. We're going to have bad days. The dog is going to mess up your house.
Mm-hmm.
The washer is going to break. Your car is not going to start. It's going to rain on you. You're going to have a bad hair day. Your makeup's going to run. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
So many variables that could go wrong. And if you're looking for a way out, you're going to find it.
Yeah.
There's always an excuse not to attend church.
Mm-hmm.
But authentic faith is about going beyond all of that and realizing I'm here because I need to be like Jesus. Love my pastor. Love what he does. I think he's 99% perfect, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but he's still not Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as great and as wonderful as your pastor may be, they're still so far from who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And we're not here to be like our pastor. We're here to be like Jesus. So like Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So he doesn't say imitate all of me. He says imitate me. Now, when you do that, only imitate the aspects of my life that point you to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what we mean by authentic faith, because that's what really brings transformation into people's lives,
mm-hmm.
those practices. And, you know, the fact that we're human makes it a little bit tough at times.
Yeah.
You know, the spirituality, we don't walk around with an S in our chest, like super Christians.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, we're kind of like kryptonite.
Yeah.
We're kryptonite to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're not perfect.
Yeah. And, you know, but nevertheless, you know, we have a responsibility to God, not to the person that sits next to us, not to the person that's driving next to us or tailing us or the ones we're tailing or the ones that cut in front of us. We have a responsibility to Jesus, to walk with him, to serve him. And part of being a Christian involves you attending church.
Mm.
Part of attending church involves you being active in church.
Yeah.
Helping clean, parking lot, diapers, whatever, something. Part of attending church requires that you do your part. You give your tithe, you give your offerings. Part of attending church means you're praying. You pray for your leaders, you pray for your neighbors, you pray for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Part of attending church is that you have to learn to love people. Jesus said, what good is it to love those that love you? That's easy. You love me, I love you.
Yeah.
Easy. But what if you hate me? That's what Jesus really differentiates love. He says, love those that persecute you.
Yeah.
That is what we need to get involved in. And that's what it means to love when it goes to, when we go to church.
Yeah.
You're going to love, you're going to have to learn to love people that maybe in your mind are unlovable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a homeless person walking in that doesn't, you know, maybe hasn't showered in quite a bit.
Yeah. And then, yeah, what then, you know, you got to still live out that same mission, you know, loving others and loving your neighbor.
Yeah. And that's what the early believers were doing.
Yeah.
That's why the early believers were called Christians. Not necessarily to elevate them to a super spiritual degree, but they were called Christians because they didn't want them around. What they were saying is, those guys are Christians. You should go after them. Those are the ones that should be killed. Nowadays, we use Christianity as a, I guess, as a way to soften people up for us. You know, you bring a boy or a girl to mom and to dad, and you say, "Mom, Dad, I want you to meet this boy." You know, you know, if you want to soften the blow to your mom and dad, oh, he goes to church.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like,
because everyone, you kind of, or at least in other people's homes, they're like, "Oh, that's great.
Okay, well, yeah. He goes to church. Wonderful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. You got a good boy."
Yeah.
Or you bring a girl. Same thing. Well, you know, she goes to church. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Why do we do that? Because we want the, I guess, the appearance of good.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular in the United States, Christianity seems to have that that label.
Yeah. Or that perception.
That aura.
Yeah. That people just view it as.
Yeah. They view it. Oh, okay. Well, they're decent people.
Yeah.
They go to church. They must be decent.
Yeah. Which is interesting that's the common consensus on Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it just shows you, you know, kind of what we should all be about.
Yeah. And so our view is not that going to church or the images or the perceptions or any of that is wrong. You know, our view is that we need to push the envelope a little bit further to the OG's way of practicing Christianity.
Yeah.
So that when others see us, they can see Jesus in us and not religion in mm-hmm. us.
Yeah. It just takes it that one step further in our walk with God to be able to make it with less excuses, you know, just being more, as people say, being more about it. Like, you have to just be about that walk, you know, your walk with God and living out your faith.
What does Jerry say? Be about it.
Yeah. And being more real and being more engaged and involved.
Mm-hmm. And that means, you know, reading your Bible, fasting, praying, giving, attending church, you know, what we now call spiritual disciplines.
Yeah. It encapsulates a lot.
Yes. And so, you know, again, authentic faith is not necessarily that we have the real, we broke the code.
Oh, yeah.
No, it means that, you know, what in our practice, in our Christian walk, we want to imitate the OGs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to imitate the early believers. And who were the early believers imitating?
Jesus.
They were imitating Jesus, and that's what we want.
Yeah.
That's what we're pushing for, because we believe that when you do that, when you engage wholeheartedly in that aspect, that you that the results are transformative. You mm-hmm. get real transformation.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we have to be transformed from this world into a kingdom that is out of this world.
Yeah.
And that's part of our journey here at Renewed Mind is that we can get you thinking from a biblical worldview instead of getting the worldview and trying to make sense of the Bible. Mm-hmm. We take the Bible and try to make sense of the world.
Exactly.
And how can we make the world more into what God wants us to be?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's. I hope that you guys are gleaning and gaining something from this. Please send us some DMs. We're on the socials. I know that once we post this, it's going to be on our YouTube page, but it's also on Facebook.
Yeah.
So, you know, make sure to share that, share with your friends, with your family, send us, you know, some messages, things that maybe you have questions about. That's not to say that we have the answers.
Yeah, no, yeah. We're not coming from, we know everything or we're perfect or things like that.
If just we don't know, we'll tell you.
Yeah. Like we're just sharing our experiences and maybe it can help others and we're learning right along the way too.
Yes, we welcome any comments, any questions. Don't be rude.